Let's all bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our gathering here today. Thank you, Lord, for the covering of the fathers that we have that created this atmosphere, Lord God, to hear your word. Thank you, Father, for our gathering here today. Thank you, Father, for the covering of the fathers of the house that has created this atmosphere to fellowship with you and to understand purpose and destiny and what we as Israel ought to do. We do not take it for granted. Father, as we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I strip myself, Father, of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or my own ability to share. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, in the grace of Lord Jesus, and help of Holy Spirit. In particular, I duck under the covering of my said spiritual fathers, that Lord, as I go into your word to share today, you enable me by your Spirit to teach, to minister effectively under covering as an oracle of God. Lord, as I speak to your word, let your word go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do that internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to further control by the power of the Spirit. As I speak your word, help me to redeem your time, to be concise and precise, speaking only what you want me to speak, Lord. Help me also as I share from your word, Lord, to be a doer of the same, redeeming the time as we go to your word. Father, I thank you. Lord, just thank you. Lord Spirit, I thank you for that which you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a privilege. Nice. Be on the field. We were talking about roots today. Yeah. God has brought many people to the house to share about the book of from Book of Barak has shared. I remember many people have shared. I don't want to talk too much about that. But what happened was some weeks ago, about a week ago, I was doing the Bible study that they sent on the WhatsApp, and God enlightened my darkness to see in a clearer light, you know, what Pastor had been sharing as he applies to us right now. You know, what we ought to do. We've been doing it, but it came in a clearer picture. So let's open our Bible book of Ruth chapter 2 and read two verses. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's read together. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. The next verse. Let thine eyes be on the what? The field. That's where I got the message from. That they do reap, and go down after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not what? Touch thee. And when thou art at us, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I repeat again, title of my message, let thine eyes be on the field. This was an instruction or instructions that Boaz gave to Ruth. After she followed Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah. And as I was meditating, God has been bringing this into my remembrance and opening my eyes to some of these things so they are not going to be new. So as we all know, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our kingsman and redeemer. Let's put the scripture behind that. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Are we there? Let's read together. And behold, Boaz came from where? Bethlehem, and what? Said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. So you can see, just like was born in Bethlehem. Next verse. Then said what? Boaz unto his servants, that was what? Set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? So put it back in verse 4. As we look at it closely, I just begin to trust the Holy Lord to help me. It says, behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem. That speaks about Lord Jesus Christ, a type of kingsman and redeemer. You all know that by the grace of God. I said, behold, the Lord whom you seek shall what? Suddenly come where? Into his temple. So we see that that's talking about Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that, we look at verse 5, put in verse 5. It talks about three sets of people when he was speaking. He spoke to the servants, say servants. He spoke to the reapers and to the root. Those are three people that you can find in that field. Praise the Lord. Can you see what says? I said to the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? What's because servants, reapers, and the damsel. Philippians 1, chapter 1. Let's just act with the cup. So this speaks about the local body of Christ. Are we there? It says that Paul, let's say Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, one, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi, with what, the bishops and the deacons. So you can see the bishops, you can see the saints, and you can also see the deacons. Are you following me? So that speaks about a local body of Christ, but it's a peculiar local body of Christ. Are you following me? So if the Bible says servants that were set over the reapers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says that God has set some apostles, prophets. Are you following me? You can put it there on the board because of time. So there are some people that God has set over a local congregation. And that is what the Bible is trying to talk about. Although it is using the story and the life of Ruth. But Bible says that these things were written for admonition unto whom the ends of the world has come. So that when you look at these things, they are just a shadow. Like somebody said, a shadow, a skin. I follow me. So when God begins to open your eyes, begin to see yourself as Ruth. Begin yourself growing up to become like the servants. I follow me. At the time, become a reaper. I follow me. You go from saints to deacons and then a bishop. Praise the Lord. So Boaz, if you look at that scripture, it says, Boaz, I put it, I said, Boaz gives Ruth three instructions. And these instructions were to determine Ruth's destiny from the very onset. So Lord just spoke to Ruth. You see, many Christians, the pastor was saying, they don't understand this teaching. They've not been taught. I follow me, like you were sharing a scripture about Paul said, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling. I think it's in Matthew 16:16. He says that from the times of John the Baptist until now, said the kingdom of God is preached and men press into it. This is why we are preaching this message at this time with emphasis. It's not because we just want things to say, but so that people can press toward. But the more you hear, the more faith comes to your heart, then you can press toward the mark of the price of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I put it here in my notes. It is not enough to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah, which is the beginning of the barley harvest. Are you following me? You see, when she got there, it wasn't just enough to follow back to Bethlehem, Judah. It was for a purpose. She has to obey the instructions that Boaz gave to her. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. Pastor was sharing. You know, you see, in the Bible, in Israel, the barley harvest, the beginning of barley harvest, and the end of the time leads to the feast of Passover. Very important. That's why if you read in the book of John chapter 6, when the master was about to say, somewhere in John chapter 6, others 3, he says that when the feast of Passover drew near, that was when he fed the people. He said there was a boy that had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I follow me. That means they must have harvested barley at that time and was around that feast of Passover. I think it's John chapter 6. I follow me. So we see here, barley harvest speaks of Passover. And it is just the beginning when Ruth got there, when we get born again. Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. Are we there? So Naomi, returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her kids returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to where? Bethlehem, you are in the beginning of the barley harvest, and he got born again. I follow him as the beginning. I follow me. So, but see, Ruth's purpose was not just to get there, she must follow on to the end. Ruth chapter 2, verse 23. As you see, just putting the scripture out of his. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto what? The end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother in law. Let me just, I want to get a piece of scripture came to my heart. I'll just mention, I don't want to forget. But the master was talking about the wheat and the tears. He said something. He said in the end time, you know, he said that then, he said, first of all, gather out the tears and burn them. And he said, they will not gather the wheat into my barn. You see, that is done. You can see it in the light of, okay, I believe, okay, when people get go to heaven. But we can see, say, after that, you see, he said, then shall the righteous shine in the kingdom of my Father, not before they gather in the wheat. I follow what I'm trying to say. So we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. So Ruth has to follow from the beginning of barley harvest to the end of the wheat harvest. Praise the Lord. So, and like Pastor said, so about a week ago, you see, every Christian is destined to appear before God at these three feasts. Not the natural feast of Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles, but now, spiritually speaking, Passover when we get born again. Pentecost when you are baptized and speaking in tongues. And then the one that we are expecting now is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering. Exodus chapter 23 verse 17 says that three times in a year shall all thy males appear before me. Every born again Christian, especially in this end time, that's why we are preaching it, must appear before God at these three feasts. Passover when you get born again, Pentecost, baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues, and then Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit, like Pastor was just sharing with us. So like I said, Boaz gave Ruth three specific instructions. And he said, he put it back in the book of Ruth chapter 2 verse 9. He says, instruction number one, he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they reap. Are we back there? He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. So it was specific. You notice he was talking to the servants. He came into the field where the servant was set. Are you following me? So was that in that field? He said, talking to him, say, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. I said, the second thing he said, number two, he said, go after them. Say, go after them. And then the third thing said, drink from the vessels which the young men have drawn. Three instructions. He said that, let your eyes be on the field that they reap. Not any field, but we're talking in reference to his own field. And why? Verse 8, go back to verse 8. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Ruth says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter, like God is speaking to all of us today? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. There is a reason. Already that tells that there are many fields around. Bible talks about a field of the fatherless. But Boaz came from Bethlehem and he spoke directly to Ruth. God said, our harp was to be on that particular field. That is our harp today. He said, make sure, let your eyes be on the field that they reap. So it was specific, not any other field. We're going to see what that field is by the grace of God. And second, I said, go after them. Say, go after them. Go after who? Go after the servant. Say, the servant. And the young men. Notice, because the servant was set over the reapers. Are you following me? Say, go after them. They see the servant and the young man. I follow. And then he said, number three, he said, drink from the vessels which the young men have drawn. That is, if you are thirsty, don't wander to go and drink somewhere. You have everything here. Quench your thirst here in this field. Don't go anywhere else. Are you following me? So we can see that. So I put it there just to explain, put some scriptures behind this. He said, I already mentioned that the servant speaks about those that God has set in authority. Fathers, so to speak, the fivefold ministry, especially the apostles and the prophets, as we'll see later on, they are the ones that bring the latter rain, the doctrine that will perfect or bring in this end time Marvel I was talking about. Praise the Lord. We'll see as we continue. And also said, I said, who? These servants are, they are the young men. I said, go after them. What does he mean by young men? In the book of John, he says, I speak to you, young men. He said, because you have overcome what? The wicked one. And what God abideth in you. So that speaks about those who have learned to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to overcome Satan and his nature. Amen. He said, go after those ones. Are you following me? That's what he's trying to talk to us about. So go after them. So he said, I drink from these vessels that they have drawn from. That is how you two, so to speak, will be able to overcome the wicked one. Praise the Lord. So I put, I said, why did Boaz give this instruction? He didn't just give that instruction, or he didn't go to any other field. They came to this particular field where he has set this servant is and gave these instructions. I put it there. He put it back in that Ruth chapter 2 verse 9. He says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Are we there? Are we there? He says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. That means if you go to another field, the young men will touch you. That means that there are young men in different fields that don't keep the master's charge. Are you following me? Because he told Timothy, he said, I give you charge before, when Paul was talking to Timothy, right or wrong. So he said, I have charged the young men that they must not touch you.
That is, here you are safe and you are secure to fulfill the reason for which God has brought you into this field. Praise the Lord. So what does this speak about? This young man that has been charged not to touch root speaks about the sons of Zadok. Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 15. We read. Ezekiel 44 verse 15. Are we there? Ezekiel 44 says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of what? Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, that is, those that did not keep the charge, they shall come near to me and to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, and see the Lord God. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, one more verse. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. So, a lot of people have received the charge, but many are not keeping it today. How do they keep that charge? One of the things that they do is they fleece the sheep. If you go down to verse 10, this speaks about Babylon, just in summary. 44 verse 10. Are we there? It says, and the Levites that are gone away far from me. Levites speak about the priesthood, the leadership. You see, from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray after, away from after, from me. Sorry, let's take that again. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. So there is a field of Levites that are not keeping God's charge. So Boaz tells Ruth, he says, stay here. I've charged this young man. I've charged this servant that they will not touch you. They will not flee. The same thing that Paul said. Paul was talking, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He says that I'm jealous why with what a godly jealousy. That I've espoused you as one husband. So they are not there to fleece or to fleece roots or to exploit roots. Are you following me? So that is the field that God is telling us to stay in this day. Praise the Lord. So that is why he gave Ruth that charge. And he says, some say, I put it here very ready. He said, go not into another field, or enter into the field. I would say, we should not enter the field of the fatherless. Are you following me? So now let's look closely at this word that says, go after the young man. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, go after the young man. That it was a command. Don't just stay in the field and be doing your own things. But follow this young man. Go after them. Mark them. Like Elisha was following Elijah. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Where Paul said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That's the same instruction that God was giving to Ruth. Let's look at that. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. I'm not going to say followers of me as I follow Christ. So he said, go after this young man that I've given charge over. Praise the Lord. Now, why did he say this? That Ruth should go after them. We'll see. It becomes clear as we look at the scriptures. I put it, I say, because they are the ones that carry the ark. He said, go after them. That word go after should remind you of what God told Joshua. The instruction I gave to Israel. He said, when you see the ark, he said, give it 2,000 cubits. And after you what? You go after it. So this young man, if you look from the story of Ruth, from what we are trying to say is that these are those that are following after purpose and destiny, which is to manifest the glory of God. So he told us that, Ruth, go after them. Just go after. When you get to the field, praise God. The next thing you do is that, after you let your eyes be on that field, and then go after these men. As they are reaping, follow them. Praise the Lord. Joshua 3 is in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. Let's just read it just to put the scripture. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. We have not experienced tabernacles before. Nobody. Nobody has experienced it before. If it was Passover, I would have said, okay, no problem. You know, notice he did not say that to Moses when they were crossing the Red Sea. A born again experience. It was when they were going to cross Jordan into the promised land. He said, I've not gone this way before. Next verse. He said, and Joshua said unto, put it back, the other verse, sorry. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the what? The priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place, Ruth, and go after it. So you go after the ark by going after the Levites that carry it. That boy said, go after this young man. I follow my train of thought. So that is very important for us to know. Then the other thing I put it there, said, drink from these vessels. We mentioned it. What does he mean by that? He said, when you are thirsty. Why? I put it here to make it very simple. There is a message that produces godliness, which will quench every natural thirst in that field. The hunger shall be filled. And the Bible says, hunger and thirst for righteousness, for it shall be filled. So there is a message, I found, that produces godliness, which will quench every natural thirst. That Bible says, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. That is the only message. That is the only river that you can drink from. You know, he told that lady, he said, if you drink from this natural something, that is those that are preached from the natural word of God, he said, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink from the water that I give you, you shall never thirst. I come with you spring up in everlasting life. I follow him. So there are vessels that are set. I'm talking about teachings that, Lord, when you begin to imbibe, listen to them, it will quench every natural thirst. I follow my train of thought. That is, you'll be satisfied. Praise the Lord. So another scripture I can put behind it, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. That is the difference between the messages that never quench our thirst in the body of Christ today. Bible says, beware of covetousness. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let the conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means it is his presence that brings contentment. Are you following me? It is godliness that brings contentment. You are satisfied. Praise the Lord. In his presence there is what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Now let us look closely at this field. This is where God wants me, I believe, to emphasize on the field. Because if we need to understand what the field is, I put it here. I say the field is a type of the world generally. Are you following me? But in reference to what we are talking about, It particularly refers to the apostolic and the prophetic teaching of the latter rain. Yeah. We'll see as I explain. The field speaks about the word of God generally. But in light of what we are talking about, in light of the messages that have been coming for this feast we are talking about, it speaks about the apostolic and the prophetic teaching that bring the latter rain. When the Bible speaks about doctrine, Deuteronomy chapter 30, we don't have time to turn there. So it is in this field that Ruth was told to keep her eyes on, that there is a treasure. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It's not in any field. There's a particular word of God that has the treasure that we're talking about. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. In light of what we're sharing. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto what? Treasure hidden in a field. So it is not just generally the word of God. Are you following me? That which when a man had found, he hideth and for joy thereof great and said all that he had and buy the field. So that is the field that Boaz told Ruth to stay. Said, keep your eyes on that field. Keep your eyes on that word of perfection. Because there's a treasure in it. So he said, keep your eyes on that field. Are you following me? Not just anything. That's why it's important for us again to meditate on these perfection scriptures. Because they are specific. When you look at them, you hear this apostolic teaching, they cause faith to arise in your heart. And like I said earlier on, the kingdom of God is spirit, and men press into it. Praise the Lord. So, let me just explain a few things, just for us to understand. You see, in like Pastor was sharing, in natural Israel, they have a former rain, and they also have a latter rain. The former rain talks about the elementary teachings of the body of Christ, we all know. Get born again, baptized the Holy Spirit. And I remember Pastor sharing some time ago, he said it is limited in the scope of the power that they can produce because of the teaching. I found that's why Passover, Pentecost is limited in the power that they can produce. That's why you see in the book of Isaiah, it says here a little, there a little. But we are talking here about the latter rain. And the latter rain, like I said, is prophetic apostolic teaching about the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So, this one is unlimited in the power that it will produce, that teaching. It is that teaching that will cause the power of the Spirit, that measure, to be released. So, it must be preached. Praise the Lord. That's why Joel says in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, he said, you children of Israel, because you have received the former rain moderately. It's true. He said, but it's going to cause come down to you the former rain and the latter rain and the, together in the first month. Then he said, after that, then I just had the floods be full of wheat, the end of the harvest. As we mentioned, when he said, when they gather in the harvest, then the righteous will shine as the kingdom of their father. Praise the Lord. So those are the things that I want us to have at the back of our mind as we continue. So just to explain further, what treasure? The Bible talks about, say Christ in you. We all know the hope of glory. Paul said, in whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's why Paul said, warning every man, teaching them that we present every man perfect in Christ. So in this field, this particular word that talks about the perfection and the fullness of Christ, that is where the treasure is. That's where Ruth is supposed to stay and follow the young man that have overcome the wicked, that are practicing this teaching. I follow him. And then to drink from that vessel that the young men have drawn, the life of God. That you don't drink from any other kind. So don't go and drink contaminated water that can upset your tummy. I follow him. So he said, make sure those three instructions are very important. That's why God wants me to find today. He said, the first thing is this. Keep your eyes on the field where the young men reap specific. The second thing says that, look, go after this young man and I reap him. We already know. I've already explained what that means. And then the final thing says that when you are thirsty, I know you are thirsty, but anytime you are thirsty, don't go to another field. There is enough for you that the young men have drawn. That everything you need to fulfill your purpose, the young men have already put it there. So you don't need just bring from it. I don't want to start. Yeah, that's why you have all the wickedness, all the messages have been coming. There's nothing else. I don't know what else you want to bring from. I say that you say my people have committed two evils. They say I've healed on them cisterns that cannot hold water. And I follow me. And the same Bible says in Proverbs, it says that drink water from your own cistern. In book of Proverbs. From your own cistern. Say, don't. So do you understand what I'm about to say? There are vessels that have been set. So you drink from those teachings. You know why? Because it's those teachings that are supposed to bring in the harvest, like Pastor was sharing, of the love of God, and also to bring in the harvest of the nations. So if you wander to the field of the fatherless, that speaks about people that teach that are not fathers. They don't have an anointing to back what they are sharing. It's a field. They preach the word of God, but like clouds without rain. Praise the Lord. So you need to follow my train of thought as I continue. So to further clarify this, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we from verses 2 to 7. We're talking about that treasure. Colossians 2:3, say, in whom I hid all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. In whom I hid who? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. We are going to read to verse 7. There's a Bob, I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You don't go to another field. Are you following me? It's filled with the type of the word of God. We renounced it. Not working in craftiness to handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience in his sight of God. Next verse. Let's keep following. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, not in that field. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Next verse. You know, we kept talking. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Next verse. For God, for God, who commanded what the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give what the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Next verse. Next verse. But we have this treasure in where earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. In him are hid all the treasures of knowledge and of wisdom. Praise the Lord. That is the field that God wants us to stay and to continue to glean from. Praise the Lord. And this field has one purpose. This message. Same thing. This field we're talking about. This field that has the treasure. This word of perfection. This word of perfecting love of God. Always think about the field in that life. What I'm sharing. It has one purpose. Pastor mentioned it. Romans chapter 8 verse 33. Romans chapter 8 verse 33. Let's just say, who? Is this 23? Sorry, I meant to say 23. Say, and not only they, But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves do what? Grow within ourselves, waiting for the what? Adoption to it, the redemption of our body. That word, that is the is designed to bring about the redemption of our body in this lifetime.
Yes.
Like Pastor shared, he's not talking about the resurrection of the body. The redemption of the body. Say we are waiting and we are groaning. That is what that word has been designed to do. You know, notice I said something. I said the word of God, that is generally the word of God. But in light of what we are talking about, it is the word of God that will bring about the redemption of our body. Life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. I will explain with the scripture. This is how God breathed off to me when I was meditating on that day. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You know, when you read that scripture, we think about it as just ordinary healing, which is true. But in light of what we are talking about, look at what he says. He says that, my son, say my son, attend to my words. Incline thy eyes unto my sayings. Now, the next thing, what does he say? My next verse. Say, let them not what? Depart from thy eyes. Keep thy eyes on the field. Now, listen. You see, he's talking about this word. But this is what God showed me. You see more light for what I'm trying to say. He said, incline thy eyes unto my... Keep them in the midst of my heart. Next verse. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Lord, have mercy. For they are... Put it back in the other verse before we get to this one. Verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. That is the field. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. The eyes there again is not physical eyes. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. I follow. So next verse. What would that word do? For they are what? Life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now stop. It's not only healing. It is talking about the life of Christ being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Can you see? So don't limit it to healing. It will renew your mind, the ability of the mind of Christ. Say they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. How come the church has not found it today? If it's only on healing. We found healing, right or wrong. It's been life to our mortal body now, right or wrong. We've been healed before. But it's not that level of life. I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly to overflow to your soul and to your physical body. So that's the second John chapter 4 verse 7. Let's put the scripture behind it. So that is the field we are talking about. Not the field of which you preach healing alone. It is true. It is good. But that cannot release or do what we are talking about. See, but we have this treasure. It's a treasure. In earthen vessels that the excellent power may be of God of us. Help me Holy Spirit. 10. We are talking about the treasure. Always. Bearing about in the body, the dying of Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Next verse. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that's about dying to the flesh, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. So you see Proverbs 4 in a new light. Not just the light of when you think about that's my words, you are life unto your flesh, you know, medicine to all your flesh. That is fine. It is good. But it's a higher thing that God is trying to tell us here. Concerning the field of Boaz, where the treasure is hidden. How about if you link those people, say this treasure, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure is in the word of perfection that will now give life to your mortal body, bringing about the redemption of your mortal body. Can you link those scriptures? From the life of God, we're talking about the life of God, talking about this treasure. That's why I took time to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 downwards. When say, if this gospel be hid, is it from them that are lost? In him I hid. Link those scriptures. Don't have time to be going through them. All the treasure of wisdom. So that is the treasure we're talking about. The life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let me just. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 22. I think we've read it. 22. 2 Corinthians chapter. No. Proverbs chapter 4. 22. I think we're ready. Proverbs 4:22. He said, for this word, just for emphasis, for this word, they are life to them that find it, and health, medicine to all their flesh. Restore the flesh like Abraham and Sarah. So you see, you've limited God to Passover and Pentecost. Healing, deliverance, prosperity. No. But there is a field in which Boaz has said you must abide in this day. When you get there from the barley harvest, you must tarry in that field until the end of the wheat harvest. And you glean after those men. You glean the same word they're sharing. You follow them. I follow my train of thought. Praise the Lord. So let me just explain. Just in summary, I put it. Say, for they, are you in verse 22? Okay, say, for their life and those that find them and hell to all their flesh. I put it. I say, for they, those words, the apostolic and prophetic teaching of the latter rain. That is the purpose of that word. Are life to those that find them and medicine to all, without exception, their flesh. Praise the Lord. So it goes beyond divine healing and health. That is good. In fact, Bible said the greater swallows up the lesser. You now start walking divine life. Praise the Lord. So, how, as we begin to round up, it's not a long message, how do we attain unto this? It's very, very simple. I put it here, say, first thing, look at the life of Ruth. Instructions were given to Ruth. God is bringing instructions to us again. We've been doing it. That's why I said the aspect that God brought to me is the aspect about those instructions were critical for Ruth to obey. Are you following me? If you read the story of Ruth, she went down, she uncovered Boaz's feet. The pastor said, learning his work and everything. But the end product was to bring Ruth to Boaz. And ultimately, that generation down the line gave birth to the Christ. Are you following me? That is the end of our Ruth. You see, but it starts from the instruction that Boaz gave Ruth. Why did Boaz give Ruth those instructions? To bring Ruth under Naomi to a place of intimacy to birth the Christ like Mary did. Understand that. That is why those... It's not just going to happen that, okay, I'm born again, I know Boaz. Thank God you know Boaz. But what did Boaz tell you to do? Are you doing it? Are you keeping your eyes on that field, meditating on that word of perfection? Or are you just spending time meditating on other things? Which is not wrong, but it's not the purpose for God for this. Ah, how long are you spending on other things? Prosperity is not wrong, but what is your emphasis? To be on the perfection of the love of God. And then you follow, you go after. Is that what go after is strong? It's not just... He says, go after. I don't know how I can describe it. Like, pursue, overtake, take that kind of. Say, go after them. Yes, yes, yes. That is just, say, go after them. Don't just follow in and say, go after. Tell anyone. That is just the word. Tell anyone. Go tell anyone. I didn't come out. Tell anyone. Then you are following them like this. Elijah, yes. Wait here. He says, yeah. Say, go after them. That means that if you don't go after them in that way, they will do some things. That's why I said they will go like this and then you go like this. Before you know why, it's just coming to me. You know those reapers, they will never leave that field because they will not go to another man's field. So if you don't go after them and they go like this and you doze off for a time, you can go. You know if somebody's field is like this, there will be a landmark. There will be another field like this. So if you don't go after them, by the time you go into another man's field, you will not know. You don't understand what I'm saying. You see, this is our church here. It has boundaries. I follow him. There's a fence here. Follow me, okay, keep on following pastor. Wherever he's going to, I keep on following. So pastor goes like this. As he goes like this, he goes like this. I didn't know when he talked. I wasn't going after him tenaciously. So he must have gone towards the generator. You enter, go you. Passover. Say, go after them. Go after them. Go after them. Don't let them go out of your sight. Close marking. So in the process of going after them, weariness may come. Tiredness may come. Satan may bring all kinds of things to say, why are you've been going after this thing? No! When you are thirsty, you are weary. Go and drink from the vessels. So it's more strength to go after them. Can I see the link? Can I see the link? Now I said, as you are going after them, you're falling after. But just man fall 7 times. You get up again. Drink from those vessels. And then you go after them. Praise the Lord. So, thank you, Holy Spirit. So, life unto those that find them. So, help me. How? Number one, say obeying and submitting to true apostolic and prophetic ministries. In summary, we go after them. That means you follow them. You copy them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. That's what Paul told Philippians. He said, those things, let's say, those things which you have bought, learned, that I've taught you, and received, are you following me? And heard, you have not seen it, but you've heard. That pastor wakes up at 4 a.m. every morning, you start, God found out, you heard, haven't you heard? You keep quiet. You have all heard. Now, if you have not, I'm telling you today. Pastor wakes up at 3 a.m. Haven't you heard? The things that you have heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The purpose of the God of peace is in the book of, just comes to me in a flash. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Yes. And then he also sanctify you solely. Speak to somebody. So when you follow that God of peace, what he's doing when he's with you, just comes to me in a flash. He said that he will bruise Satan under your feet. He will bruise the Satan nature in your soul. He will bruise the Satan nature in your physical body. And then your whole body will be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you go after them. It's important to go after them. Then the second is, meditate upon these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Are we there? 4:15. It says, meditate on these things. What things? You don't have time to know that. We're talking about too much about godliness. Yeah. When on this thing, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Next verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine according to godliness. You go and read it. That's what he was talking about in earlier verses. Continue in them. Say continue in this God, in this doctrine. That means by the time he was telling Timothy, the prophecy was yet to appear. It just came to me. He said that your prophecy may appear. So the process in Timothy that the prophecy did not appear. So Paul said, keep doing these things. Say that continue in them. For in doing this shall thou both save thyself, spirit, soul, and body, and them that hear, not the hear, those that obey you, that do the same things. Praise the Lord. Now, the third point I have here that we have to do, I already mentioned, is do not glean in another field. I'm trying to just to explain it. Ruth chapter 2 verse 8, where it said, don't glean in another field. Are you following me? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 verse 27, says, cease, my son, to hear the instructions that cause to err from the words of knowledge. Don't glean in another. That is what he's talking about. Don't feed on things that will cause you to err from the words of knowledge. Because there are those that are not keeping his charge. What am I trying to say? It is fathers that give instructions. They obey the instructions of your father, for she is thy life. Can you link those scriptures? So he said, seize my son to hear the instructions that cause her to err from the words of knowledge, that takes you out of the field of perfection. Into the field of the fatherless. There is a field, the word of God. But the person over it, or it is fatherless. They handle the word of God deceitfully. It is father that rightly divide the word. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the field of the fatherless. No father over the son. In the days of when there was no king in, everybody did what was good in his own sight. I follow him. So I trust God with understanding. So, and another scripture I put here, the last scripture I have, says, which is very important. I believe what God wants me to share. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. When Paul was telling the Corinthians, he called them fools. But look at the summary. We're talking about revelation. What is what he said? He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. When he was beginning to round up that whole wonderful chapter, when he said, as you are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You know, he says, be not deceived. Say, let's say, be not deceived. Going to another field, not ordained by Boaz, will corrupt good manners. Corrupt, you bring about corruption. Talks about the sin nature. I just said this so I can understand in light of what I've been saying since morning. Be not deceived. Evil communicants corrupt good manners. What is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? Same message. He will corrupt it. You are but the baby. You will. That is why, just comes to me, I don't intend to take time. That is why God put Mary under Joseph. Yeah. Even though, like Mary, was like Ruth. The angel appeared and said, you have a baby. Passover. But she had to stay under Joseph. Because it was Joseph that God spoke to, of we had to take her and the baby. He didn't tell Mary. Even though she was pregnant with the Christ child, was the Lord appeared to Joseph, the set man over Mary. So he carried out, yeah, God has spoken to me, we are going to Egypt. She didn't leave Egypt though, under Mary. Then God spoke, yeah, go back. We are going back. Didn't you know what I'm saying? So say, don't be deceived though. Don't say, yeah, this cannot happen to me. If I listen to this message, if I watch this podcast, you may not go there, but can watch it, you can download it. Unless the wrong message, you can abort the baby. In fact, it will end up. That's why those instructions were specific. Now, the last thing, which is the last point I have here, continue to the end of the wheat harvest. Because at the end of wheat harvest, he says something called Matthew chapter 13. He said, when he gathers the wheat into his barn, the feast of anger, he said, then shall the righteous shine in the kingdom of their father. Not before. Not at the barley harvest. Arise, shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is that we are approaching that with harvest now. We're going to gather everything into his barn. He's not talking about heaven for God's sake. He may, he has. But we are talking about those that are going to the ingathering of the harvest of fruit. Ruth chapter 2, verse 23. I mentioned it. He said, that is the thing that Ruth did. She kept what? Fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwells with our mother-in-law. John chapter 8 verse 31. John chapter 8 verse 31. So we're talking about the word here. The word of perfection. Not just the word of healing, which is okay. Because the word of healing will not make you a disciple. You know, he didn't say it in the context of a disciple here. He said, continue in my healing scriptures. Then shall I be my disciple indeed. Can you get back to say? He says, then Jesus said to those disciples which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And, next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from a sin nature, spirit, soul, and body. The word becomes flesh. Continue in my word. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. I just read two more scriptures. Yeah. Are we there? This all. Continue with what? One accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We've already been taught. I don't want to take time. We've been taught to continue. Watch and pray. More diligently, more frequently use the blood, the word, and the spirit. So you continue. We don't stop. The last scripture, to make it clear again. Chapter 2, verse 42. We are talking about the apostolic and prophetic teaching that will bring the latter rain. These all continue with what? One accord in prayer and steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So you continue the apostles' doctrine. Not just any doctrine. The doctrine according to godliness. But I said you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It is that teaching we are talking about today. The apostolic and the prophetic teaching that will bring about the harvest, that will help you to perfect the love of God. That is what you continue in. That is what you do when you are abiding and keeping your eyes on the field. That is what the field is talking about. It is those apostles and prophets that you follow, that you go after them, like I was trying to explain to us. And then when you are thirsty, you are weary, you are weak, then they are running around helter-skelter. From one calf to the other. Just look in that same field. Drink from that same field. You regain strength. And as you do that, the life of Christ being manifest in your mortal body. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. That was a very lovely prophetic message from the book of Ruth. See, all these Old Testament stories that you read, they're not your stories. They are prophetic. They are prophetic codes that are speaking to us today. You know, Ruth getting to Bethlehem. Can you imagine? This was thousands of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So God had been planning it. That Jesus was going to come from Bethlehem. David, the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. David was from Bethlehem. But the only reason why David was from Bethlehem was because Ruth, his great-great-great-grandmother, came to Bethlehem to meet Boaz. It was Boaz that gave birth to Obed. It was Obed that gave birth to Jesse. It was Jesse that gave birth to David. And it was David that gave birth to Jesus. That's this God is in control. He knows what he's doing. You know, and that's why, I don't know how I can say it. You know, you need to take heed to the word of God. Because you see, you don't know where you are in the big plan. God sees the big picture. Many times we only just see this tiny picture, you know, and if Ruth had disobeyed, that plan would not have upper. You know, it wasn't only Ruth. There were two girls. All the days you've been walking, have you ever met any upper? How many uppers have you met? My name is Upper. Nobody would name their child after Upper. Maybe a few silly people would, but you know, you don't hear about her. You know, and you know, you could go off in so many rabbit trails, and I don't want to do that. You know, why didn't Upper go? Why did Ruth follow Naomi? Why did Upper not follow Naomi? There is a reason. Naomi asked them a question. In fact, Naomi also said, you people go back. Let's say it in the contemporary something. You have tried. Your husbands are dead. I'm going back to my country. There's no point you going with me. What are you going to get? He said, why will you follow me? He said, why will you follow me? He said, do I have any more children in my womb? He said, even if I have a husband tonight and I have children, are you going to wait until they grow up? He said, it grieves me that the hand of the Lord is out, which was not correct. Because it was not God, it was they who walked in the flesh. But anyway, the point is this. There was a reason. What were you looking for? The difference between Upper and Ruth was this. And Naomi said it. In a coded form. And it was this. You see, Ruth followed Naomi because of the God of Naomi. Ruth had gotten to know the God of Israel and knew he was better than the God of her fathers because she came from Moab. Orpah was nice, she was good, but she you can be in a place and not know what's going on. But she had never made connection with the God of Naomi. And so Upper went back and Ruth mentioned it. She said, go, thy sister-in-law that has gone back to her place and to her gods. That was a problem. It's just like in a church like this. You have different people. You know, what are you here for? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? It's true. Some people come to church for bread and fish. They say they came across this river. They were seeking for Jesus. But what were they seeking for? Jesus asked that question and said, what seekest thou? It's very important. You need to ask yourself that question. In this Christianity, what am I looking for? You know, some people are here, they're looking for breakthrough. They're looking for a new job. Some are looking for a husband. Some are looking for wife. Some are looking for healing. Some are looking for baby. Are all those things wrong? No. But that must not be what you are looking for. You know why? You can get husband without coming here. You can get wife without coming here. You can get job without coming here. You can get a new car. You can get a new job. You can even get a baby. There are people who sell them. Another story for another day. Seriously. If the major thing you're looking for in God is some physical or material thing, you can be deceived very easily.
Because there are other places that you can get the same thing. And it will not be God who will give it. But there is one thing nobody else can give you. That only God can give you. His kingdom. And that's what Pastor Tori, God used Pastor Tori to say to us. That was why I said, don't go to any other field. It is only in this field you will get the treasure of the kingdom. But the good news is that if you have the kingdom, then you have the baby, you have the husband, you have all the other things are inside. But you must not make looking for the husband and looking for the baby and looking for whatever else. You know, the car or the house or whatever it is, the visa or whatever else. You know, you must not make that thing. So most people come to church and that's what they are waiting for. They're waiting for a word of knowledge to tell me about my baby. Or tell me about it. I said, when the pastor doesn't say anything like that, I said, I'm not blessed. I went to that church. I really wasn't blessed, you know. God, you're looking for the wrong thing. Orpah was looking for the wrong thing. Ruth was looking for the right thing. Ruth knew if she went back, she would go back to idolatry. Her parents and her relatives will force her back to the false gods of Moab. And she wasn't going to do that. She was going to die first before go back to the rest. She said, you don't understand, Naomi. Where you go, I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, there will I die and be buried. And God do so. And more unto me, if aught but death separate us. That is a person who knows where she's going. She had made up her mind. Yeah, you know, that the Bible says, it said, and when Naomi saw she had steadily stepped for her, she left off talking to her. And this girl, Ruth, I'm going to see the reward God is going to give Ruth when we get to heaven. You know what the Bible says about her? I don't know. This is what God is. Better than seven sons. She's not a daughter, she's a daughter-in-law. They said that thy daughter-in-law, which is better unto thee than seven sons. Who said boys are better than girls? You haven't got a roof yet. Those of you who have female children, and maybe you don't have a son yet, and you're thinking, I don't have any boy, and I can't say, if you have a root in your hand, it's better than seven sons. I just got a text. Or is it a tweet? Amen. Make all your daughters Ruths. They will be better unto you than seven sons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, there was so much in that message. I just want to, and then we'll just pray. Elisha followed Elijah. See, Pastor Dio, he talked about, keeping your eyes on the field, then following the young men, and then drinking from their vessels. The young men, they're symbolic of those who are spiritually mature and are moving towards the purpose and destiny of God. The way you're going to get into these things is you have to follow those who are following Christ. You can't follow Christ directly because you can't see him. But God has put people inside the church. You can follow them. Joshua followed Moses. Hello? Timothy followed Paul. In fact, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's why God put men inside the church. So you follow the young men. And you drink from the vessels of the water they have drawn. That's why we give life. I was talking on Sunday about, laying down our lives for others. So you cannot draw it as much as they. So when they draw, you can draw from their own spirit. You can drink from the water that they have given you. Now, Elisha refused to be distracted or to be discouraged. In this journey, there are going to be many things that will want to distract or discourage you, just like Ruth too. If Ruth was only thinking in the natural, if Ruth did not see God, if Ruth was not following after God, she would never have followed after Naomi. Even if she just tried to go to Bethlehem, she would not have lasted. Because Naomi was bitter. He said, don't call me Naomi. He said, call me what? Mara. For the Lord has dealt, which is a lie, it wasn't God. You know, anytime the Bible says, a man's ways perverted his ways, and his heart fretted against the Lord. You know, start blaming God. Who told them to go to Moab? Because there was a famine in the land. But you know an interesting thing? There were a lot of people who stayed in the land when there was a famine in the land. By the time they came back, those people were still alive. So who told you that you have to go to Moab because there's a famine in the land? And after a while, God brought bread back and visited his people. But those people don't like to go through any hardship. So anytime there's things that are a little bit tight, he will go to Moab. Because Moab seems, they heard that there's bread in Moab. Man shall not live by bread alone. There may have been bread in Moab, but there was no word in Moab. Yes, there was bread in Moab, but there was no word in Moab. There was no bread of life in Moab. So they went to Moab, and in Moab they died. Elimelech died. Chilion died. And Mahlon died. All the three men died. Because they went to Moab. They went to go and seek bread and neglected Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem is? The house of bread. The bread of life. So it's very important. Don't allow anything to discourage or distract you. In the journey with Elijah, you know this Elijah is a funny fellow. He said, tarry here. He said, you know, I think it was, I can't remember all the places. The first place was Bethel. He said there was Bethel, then there was Gilgal, there was Bethel, then there was Jericho, you know, and then there was Jordan. He said it was Elijah who told him more. It was Elijah who told him. You know, you have to be very discerning. He said, tarry here, for the Lord has asked me to go. He said, he said, the Lord do so. I'm all to me. He said, as the Lord God liveth, I will not leave thee. The man says, all right, let's go. They kept going. He got to Gilgal. He said, stay here. There will always be things in this journey that will make you say, stay here. This story we're saying, that this prophetic timeline truth we're saying, you know, what happens with most Christians is that we start, okay, we get born again at the barley harvest, you know, and it's Passover. Most people say, stay in Passover. But there are those who say, I will not stay in Passover. I'm moving on, you know. So we get to Pentecost. When we get to Pentecost, gifts of spirit, stay here. But for the Lord, I send me tabernacles. And the other guy said, tabernacles, I'm not so sure. Let me just stay here. You know, but Elisha, he said, I will not leave thee as the Lord God liveth. And you know, Pastor Joey brought that out when he was talking about the young men and going into another field accidentally. If you don't follow close enough and the guy takes a left turn, you know, if you're following a car, if you're driving, you know, you're following a car and you lose sight of the car, then you come to a junction, you don't know where they went. You don't know whether they went left or whether they went right. That's why when you follow, you must follow closely. If you follow afar off, you can lose sight of where they went. And once you take a left turn, you go out into the field of the fatherless. So Elijah said, he said something to him. He said, if you see me. So when you follow, you must keep seeing. Yes, there's 2,000 cubits, but you must keep seeing. You've got to keep seeing where they are going. So when they turn left, you to turn left. When they turn right, you turn right. So you mark them closely. One person that did that got close was John the Apostle. He never took his eyes off Jesus from that very first day. You know, he wrote the book of John. Go and compare the gospel of John to all the other gospels. You see how intimate, how close he was. And it was a question of a decision. John was not the nicest guy around, though. He was a son of thunder. He had a terrible temper. And he had some, you know, he wasn't a saint at first. He changed. Because he decided. What happened was this. I close a beautiful story. John, Peter, James. You know, they were all fishermen. In fact, they were partners. They had the fishing business. They had plenty of boots. Their dad was, you know, there was a big... They weren't poor guys, though. All this silly religious thing that tell us. You know, they had a good fishing business. They had this. They had more than one boat. They used to go fish. That's why they could hire workers. If you don't have money, you can't hire a worker. Call on Shanua. You know, they left the boat with the hired servants. That means the business was making so much money, they could pay people, they could hire people. So these boys, you know, they were looking for God. They were looking for the kingdom. You see, at this season, in everybody's hearts, people were expecting the kingdom of God. They didn't understand it all. They thought maybe it was going to come and destroy the Romans, but they were looking for it. So anywhere these boys heard that the word of God was being preached, they would go. So they went to hear this man called John the Baptist with his leather, you know, this camels on. The guy looked like a crazy guy. You know, and he was preaching with fire and brimstone, and the boys were just there. Peter, James, John, they were just there. Every day they would go. Every day they will go. Every day they will go. They will go. They keep hearing. They keep hearing. So one day, they got there. And John said something he had never said before. This young guy from Nazareth with long hair, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Wow, wow. Then they came back the next day. The man came back again the next day and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." By the time John said that the first day, I said that the second day, they said, "But boy, this is a guy I'm talking about following." So you know what they did? When they said the grace, nothing has changed, brethren. Everything's still just the same. It's just different. You know, we're in the 21st century, we're in air conditioner, but it's the same thing. It's brethren meeting together. It was a meeting. John preach. After they ended the meeting, they just put their eye on that Messiah. And they followed him. Jesus didn't call them. Oh. They stayed until the end of the service. Thank you, Pastor Gwega. Some people go before the end of the service. So sometimes they miss some of the things God wants to give them. Or God wants them to hear. They stayed and they heard. So the Lord started going. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he was the Lord. They didn't know. They just knew the prophetic word that this is the Lamb of God. This is the Messiah. John didn't say it in those words. You see, John himself didn't even know who Jesus was. But he had baptized him. The Spirit of God had come upon him, so he now recognized him. Jesus had gone for the 40-day fast and he had come back. He had gone for the 40-day fast and he was back. This was after the 40-day fast. So Jesus went to look for disciples. And he expected John to follow him. That's another story. So anyway, so Jesus, that's why he came the second day. You know, he went the first day. There was no, just to make an announcement. Then he went the second day. The second day, John did not follow, but these three boys. No, actually there were two of them. It was Andrew and John. It was Andrew and John. They followed him. So Jesus now looked back and said, what are you guys looking for? What seekest thou? They said, where dwellest thou? He didn't discourage them. He said, you want to see? Come and see. They didn't leave him home. They spent the night in the house. Jesus must have been a nice guy. You know? You know, they ate in Jesus' house that night. They spent the night. You know, only God knows what they were talking about. I can imagine John firing questions, asking about this and that, you know, from the scripture. And Jesus would have been telling him, sharing all kind of revelation. All that. The next day, Andrew went to go and look for Peter. Come. We have found him of whom the scripture, and that's what he said, of whom the scripture has said. You know, and then, you know, they got Philip, then Nathaniel, you know, and all the guys, you know, they all started coming and all of that. That's how they, and from that day, till the day Jesus was crucified on the cross, John never took his eyes off him. He followed him everywhere. No matter the inconvenience, no matter the danger, you find John there. Who was at the cross? We have no record of the other 12. John was at the cross. You know, the other, everybody was afraid. John too was afraid. Let's be honest. I mean, everybody was afraid. You know, but you know, once the trial was over in the morning, and they went to Pilate's judgment seat, I'm sure John was outside. He was going to find out how this thing was going to. So he followed. You know, they got this guy from Libya, Simon the Cyrene. You know, put the cross. Our boys, they're bad boys. Soldiers haven't changed you. Yeah, this is him. They slapped the guys. Come on, carry the cross. You know, so that one was carrying the cross for Jesus, you know, until they got to near Golgotha. You know, John was following. You know, there was a crowd, even the women, you know, who are crying and everything. Jesus said, don't cry for me. If they have done this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? You know, but anyway, John must have been there. So at the point where he was being nailed, John was there. John was there. His mommy was there. His mom, Mary, was there. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I think three Marys. The mother and the other two. You know, and John. He was watching everything. He never took his eyes off the Lord. And the Lord was, you know, dying on the cross. His mother was there. And John was there. So Jesus gave him a command. He said, behold thy mother, behold thy son. He said, and from that day, John took her into his house. You know why? Joseph was dead. It's very interesting. You know, John had brothers. There was James, there was Jude, and there were others. You know, the other ones, we don't know their names. It's one of the things that scares me most about the Bible. We have no record of the names of Jesus' other brothers or his sisters. They were not important. You know why? Spiritual things didn't mean much to them. I'm sure they were Christians because they were in the upper room. And I'm sure they went to heaven. But what I mean is that, you know, there's no record. You know, I've discovered that the Bible, when you become relevant and you really love God and you want to do things of God, it surprises me that none of his sisters were at the cross. Who was supposed to comfort their mother? Sure, Bonnie. They heard that their senior brother, who didn't know in Jerusalem that they arrested Jesus. They are taking him to Pilate's judgment seat. The rumor would have gone around town. The only person that could be there with Mary was John. His brothers were not there. His sisters were not there. They came later, thank God, after the resurrection, and they were there on the day of Pentecost, and they got the Holy Ghost. Thank God for God's mercy. Amen. But their names are not recorded in Scripture. And I know that if there was some degree of relevance, because we have two that are recorded, James and Jude. They were brothers of the Lord too, you know. But the others, I'm sure they were Christians. You know, they are Christians and they are Christians. In a great house, there are many vessels. You know, and it's their choice. These are people who grew up with him. The years in Nazareth, these people grew up with him. These brothers and sisters. But they just never took any. I say that I've been a pastor for almost 40 years now. I see a lot of people, they don't take an interest in spiritual things. They're in church, but they just, you know, and they want to get blessed and get prayed when they have their birthday and have party. There's nothing wrong in that, you know. But you see, it's deeper than that. If that's all you're looking for, you know, then you will miss out on these deeper things. But John was not like that. John said, I'm going to follow. And he followed and followed right unto the end. And God, Jesus delivered his mother into John's hands. And he knew he was reliable. You know, I got to close. I've been promising my wife I'm going to take her to Israel. And I am. By the mercy and the grace of God. possibly 2019, you know, we'll go. You know, but we went to Croatia this summer. One of her friends, the son, was getting married. So while we were there, we met a Catholic guide. She was a tour guide, but she was a Catholic, charismatic, born again. So she took us to a Catholic revival ground. People come, thousands of people come, and there are these charismatic priests. They pray for the sick. They speak in tongues, you know, and all of those kind of things. So she was now telling us, this lady. She said, Pastor, he said, you people must go to Israel. So she asked her, have we gone to Israel? I said, I haven't gone. Ah, she said, you must go. I said, he said, and when you go, make sure you go to Turkey. Yes. I'm talking about John. That's why I remembered. Make sure you go to Turkey. He said, there is a place in Turkey where John the Apostle, that's where he died. You know, he died. You know, Turkey was Ephesus and all this Asia Minor. That was where it was, you know. And the house they lived in, where he kept Mary, is a, you know, all Catholics love Mary. They love the Holy Mother. So she said, you must go to the house where John and Mary died. And go and see it. He kept her all those years. You know, they banned him to the Isle of Patmos. He came back. He died as an old man. He was almost 100 years old when he died. You know? And he looked after Mary all. So there is a house. It's in somewhere in Turkey. Google it. You know, just say the house of something. Anytime you go to Turkey. You know? Instead of going to see all these silly things, go and see the house. But John, he grew up, you know, he died in Turkey. I think it's in Ephesus. You know, he was the bishop of Ephesus. Timothy was the original bishop of Ephesus. But when the book of Revelation was given, it was given to John, who gave it to the angel. As the church of Ephesus. He looked after Jesus' mother. Let God find us faithful. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Follow like John. John followed Jesus to the very end. He was afraid like everybody else. And he took caution. You know, he didn't go to the house like Peter and deny Christ. John was wise. Amen. He didn't go there. But in the morning, when everything was over, he joined the crowd and followed them right until Golgotha. And while the crucifixion was taking place, he stood there at attention. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Let's talk to the Lord. Follow the Christ. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive me.
Please forgive me. And
I have believed
in a lie
that you were unable.
That you were unable.
I see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart. And show yourself strong. Let's start again. I have made you too small in my eyes.
I have made you too small in my eyes.
Oh, please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Hallelujah. I see my wrong. Heal my heart. Heal
my heart and
show you're so strong. Glory to God. Raise your other hand to heaven. The eyes symbolic of the mind. The Bible says the eyes of our understanding. The difference between Ruth and Orpah was that with Ruth, God was magnified. But with Orpah, she didn't see God. She only saw natural things. A nice husband, a nice mother-in-law. She was nice. She helped cook food. She cleaned the house. She did all the nice things, but she couldn't see God. You must see Him that is invisible. You must see He is greater than all the little mundane things of the world. And once you have Him, He has the power to give you all those other things. So instead of looking for things, look for Him. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this evening, instructing me to keep my eyes on the field of apostolic and prophetic teaching of the growth into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Like you said to Ruth, Lord, I will not leave this field. I will follow after the young men, even as they follow Christ. And I will drink of the water of life that they have drawn into their vessels. I will not be distracted. I will not go to the right and to the left. I will dwell with my mother-in-law. I will dwell with my Ruth, those in spiritual authority over me, and with my Boaz, I will stay in this field until the end of the wheat and the barley harvest. I will not be distracted until I see the fulfillment of the fullness of the Feast of Tabernacles, the perfection of the love of God, and the manifestation
of your glory by the power of the Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Be seated for a minute. We're going to go and praise God in a minute. As we were praying, this thought came to me, and I want to share it with us. The scripture says, Paul was praying for the Ephesians, said that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Amplified Bible says the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light. There's something about revelation that is, and that's the difference between Ruth and Orpah. Even though it was in the Old Testament, Ruth had seen God. When we say we see God, it doesn't mean she had a vision or anything, but she had perceived. She had seen the operation of the God of Israel in that Israeli family. And she knew that the God of Israel was a true God, and that the God of her fathers were idols. That was why she made that radical decision. She was ready to die first than to stay in that place with those false gods. The problem today with many of us as Christians is we don't see God in this way. I'm not talking about having you. Of course, you can have a vision and just can appear to you. That happens. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, you see God in your everyday life. Then it becomes precious to you. The Bible says you see Him. Moses endured as seeing Him that was invisible. He didn't see Him, but he perceived. He knew that the God of Israel was, even though at that time was they really know God properly, but he knew enough. He had enough insight, enough revelation that this slavery is wrong. These Egyptians are not doing the right thing, and these people must have a God, even though he didn't know Him. He didn't know Him until 40 years later in the wilderness with Jethro, you know, at the backside of the desert. That's when God appeared to him in the flame of fire. This was before then. He said he endured as seeing Him as invisible. You need to do the same thing. And that's why this song we sung, you see, be magnified. Oh Lord, my eyes are on. What are your eyes on? What are your eyes on? What are your eyes on? Revelation is progressive and it is continuous. You can see and you can stop seeing. John the Baptist saw and then he stopped seeing. Behold the Lamb of God. He that sent me to baptize, say, he that you see that the Spirit of God comes upon, you say, it is he that baptizes the Holy Spirit. Fast forward 6 months later, art thou he that cometh, or should we look for another? He stops seeing. You must continue to see. It is possible, I'm speculating, it's not in scripture, but I don't know. It is possible that Orpah may have seen and then stopped seeing. And the reason for that is this. the two of them told Naomi they will follow her. There must have been something that motivated Orpah to say, let's go. And if you read the story very carefully, you'll find that they were already on the way. They had left Moab. They had left the house. They had packed all their luggage and everything. They were already moving. They were on the way. What would make Orpah leave? She must have had an inkling. I think, okay, she must have liked Naomi. Maybe Naomi was very nice to them. And this woman, we can't just leave her in this condition and everything. But I'm going to say it again. Ruth saw God magnified. Orpah maybe just had a little peek, but it wasn't clear enough. So when push came to shove, Orpah turned back. But because Ruth's revelation and understanding was progressive and it was increasing, it was clear to her that this God is the true God. And I'm not going back to that kind of life. I don't care how much bread is in Moab. If God isn't there, I don't want it. She wasn't looking at the bread. She was looking at the God who incidentally gives the bread. And that's what you and I need to get. You know, don't get distracted. You know, and make sure revelation, you know, you have to see God. I preached it before some years ago, but I'm going to preach again soon. God seeing him as invisible. You got to keep your eyes, you know, and the only way you can see him that's invisible is by having light in your mind. This physical, I have these my two eyes now, physical eyes. You know, one definition of light is that light is the energy that causes you to have vision. If they switch off all the lights here now, I won't see Pastor Gwega. None of Pastor Gwega is not there. It's because the reason why I'm seeing Pastor Gwega is that there's light from all these bulbs. You understand? They hit him. They bounce off him, bounce into my eyes, and it sends a signal to my brain, and that's why I'm seeing him. If you shut the light off, I won't see him anymore. Because there is no light that is making him visible to me. If you do not put spiritual light into your mind, you can't see God. Just like you cannot see physical things, you cannot see just like Kushklamangrofredes. Just like it takes physical light to see physical objects, it takes spiritual light to see the invisible, to see spiritual things. That's why that prayer is essential. Keep filling your heart with light. The entrance of his word giveth light. When you hear the word of God, you know, it brings light to your mind. So invisible things become real to you because you're seeing them. So the person who doesn't have that much light, he's not seeing them. And you know, you have different intensity of light. You know, if you just have a little bit tiny light, you won't see the thing properly. So Orpah probably had a little light, but it wasn't clear enough. So when Naomi said, they're dead, there's no husband, he gave her another picture. And that picture, let me go back. God will have mercy. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood.